our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 359, stanzas 1 and 2. Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards a useless watch maintain. 1 and 2 of Psalter 359.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, thereof chapter 5, the first 11 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven, thou who sittest upon the throne of glory, and who hast made this earth, and not only made it, but us also govern it, and by thy most good and sovereign providence, thou who dost, for the sake of thy people, govern all things to that end, that they may be brought in out of nature's darkness into the kingdom of light, and that they may be delivered from all that which burdens them here below, and that which is all for their destruction, according to the desires and the intent of the kingdom of darkness. O Lord, thou who dost rule all things and will bring to pass that which thou hast decreed from that never begun eternity, wilt thou give us in this afternoon to look up unto thee, with all our needs and all our wants and all our cares, as we have begun the Sabbath days together, in the years that thou wilt permit us to gather in the year to come, O Lord, that thou may remember us, and that thou may look upon us and upon our dear children. For thou in eternity hast said, How shall I put thee among the children? And how shall I give thee a pleasant land? For thou didst know how deeply that thy church would fall away from thee. And thou didst seek out to say, Who shall go for us? And thou who hast instituted the offices in especially choosing one to go who would deliver his own church, that he might save them from sin, thou hast chosen one who is mighty. Thou hast chosen one who is wise, One who was willing, who would say, here I am, send me. O Lord, then there is so much comfort for thy church in the institution of thy offices. For it is all for the bringing in of thy people. And it is all that it is in thy providence and in thy wise decree and in thy sovereignty that thou wouldst deliver thy people and thou wilt have it thy own way. And so thou wilt do it by the strength of thine arm. It was thy own choice. It is not left to our choice. It is not left to the choice of a man. Else it would never come to pass because we do not choose thee. We choose the world. We choose the sin. We choose sensuality. We choose carnality. We choose evil. We have chosen the devil as our father. And we do not turn from him unless thou wilt choose us. O Lord, thou hast made such a choice in thy own dear and beloved Son. O that thou may give then also unto those who are helpless and those who are hopeless in themselves, and that they may see a little of thy choice and thy anointing, how that thou hast anointed him, that thou hast appointed him, that thou hast qualified him, and that he has come forth even as we have commemorated together. Thou hast sent him forth into human nature. Oh, thou hast done everything that was necessary to deliver a people who could not deliver themselves. Oh, do give to us then a cry to thee, or that we may be given to look away from all the strength of the creature, and that we may be given to lose all of our own wisdom and all of our own understanding, and that we may receive a blessed eye of faith upon thee and thy only begotten Son, and to the powerful work of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, we beseech thee that thou wouldst anoint us with that Spirit. Remember those who are to be installed in their offices in this afternoon. It is a work that thou dost continue, and that is also an encouragement to each and every one of us, because when that work is not yet complete, then thy church is yet to be gathered, and thou dost still give that candlestick and may remain in the midst of us. O Lord, we beseech thee that we would never sin it away, that thou wouldst keep us on every side, and that thou wouldst give strength unto us who are chosen not merely by the congregation, but who are chosen by thee, that we may do that work, but we are not sufficient in and of ourselves. O Lord, give us together then what is necessary each and every day, that strength for the body and that wisdom in the mind. Give to us all together that what is necessary in our soul, the lessons that must come from above, that we may be taught by thee for the first and by renewal, that we may be given that blessed submission to thy will each and every day. Oh, that we may be given truly to say from the bottom of our hearts, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. O Lord, that thou may look upon the congregation, and that thou may bless them under the labors which are performed, that thou may give thy Spirit in a rich measure to go from pew to pew and from heart unto heart. O that thou may give new ones to be born in Zion, for thou sayest, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, give us to feel our death. Give us to mourn over it. Give us to cry unto thee from the bottom of that miry pit and clay. Oh, that we may be delivered by thee in thy own time. Wilt thou give also that constancy unto those that are yet without that help that they do cry for? For thou sayest that men should always pray and not faint. But, O Lord, that way can be so long. But thou knowest where that they are. Oh, that thou may hear them from above. That thou may give a little token of thy favor, of thy communion. And also that thou knowest where they are. Oh, that we may be given, even in this hour, to preach from the pulpit. What takes place in the inner chamber, that thy people may hear their name, but that they may also hear thy name along with their own name, and that thou may give them a new name. O Lord, we beseech thee, these are blessings that are so far above what we deserve. Thou givest us food, drink, clothing, shelter, health, strength, and prosperity in this world. But we have so departed from thee. Oh, turn us again. Draw us. Forgive and take away our many sins. Wash and cleanse us. Make us a new man. And give that old man, that he may be mortified day by day. And oh, that we may be given to serve thee with all our heart, might, and strength, as willingly as the angels do in heaven. Lord, that thou may supply for us. Look upon the children, upon the youth, when our school will begin again in the day of tomorrow. Help our teachers. Stand on their right and on their left hand. Give them strength. Give them courage. Give them the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that they, as they stand before our children, may feel the solemnity of their position and of their responsibility. And oh, that they may yet, in those moments, when thou wilt give it, that they may yet be given to say some things by times unto our children, that may be making jealous those who are to take the place later, if thou wilt give it. Oh, Lord, that thou may give out of our students also, those who may give themselves unto that precious and unto that most necessary work, to go before the rising generation. Oh, give new hearts to our children and our youth, that they may grow up, that they may, in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, that is more and more departing from thee and from thy law and from thy truth, oh, that they may be given to see the necessity and the importance that thou wouldst raise up teachers in the midst of our own school, and may it be especially among our young men. Oh, do give that there may be hearts that may be united unto thee and unto that most important work. That thou may give fathers and mothers also a place before thee. Oh, give us all together a place in our secret chamber, because we see the clouds and they are lowering all around us. Oh, then we feel so much how that those days are coming, wherein that we will have to give up all that which we may enjoy in this world, and that we will have to suffer, and that we will have to go through a way of trial, a way of tribulation. O Lord, prepare us, that we may receive new hearts, and that we may be able to stand in the day of trial, and that thou may give, and that also in all these ways thy church may be born, and thou wilt bring them through the fire, and thou wilt try them as gold is tried, And thou wilt refine them as silver is refined, but thou wilt bring them through, and they shall come forth as gold, O Lord, and they shall be refined, that they may shine before thee as the sun. O Lord, look upon us, include us, forgive us, be with us, remember all those that are afflicted, sick, and many. Thou knowest the afflictions. Wilt thou give health and strength also to those who recover from surgery, and be with our old people, those in the nursing home, those who are weak at home, those who listen by church telephone. O Lord, be with them in loneliness, in difficulty, in pain, in suffering, in the needs of mind and of body. All those that suffer, the needs because of addictions of the body, and thou knowest all the multitude of things. Lord, help the needy, hear their cry, help us. Also in this afternoon, fill us with thy Spirit. Wilt thou give thy word place? Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 321 all the stanzas. How blessed the perfect in the way, who from God's law do not depart, who holding fast the word of truth, seek him with undivided heart. 1-4 of 321, and the last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. Thank you. beloved congregation, we read here the words of Christ Himself. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. To whom were those words spoken? They were spoken unto Peter. It was the calling of Peter unto the holy and the sacred ministry. We read that Paul says, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Often the Lord is using men who would be in our eyes the most unlikely persons for such a work. Because who of us would have gone for such a work, for such an office to the Sea of Galilee? Who of us would have looked upon men such as Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John, men who were but common fishermen, simple men, that they, those who were uneducated in the things of this world, may go forth to do that most important work of that holy ministry. On the other hand, who of us would have taken a heretic? Who of us would have gone after someone like Saul of Tarsus, that we would choose such a man that he may go forth to that work? But what does the Lord not do? The Lord does not first ask our counsel. The Lord, He works in wondrous ways, His wonders to perform. And He does not ask a man if he wants to do it, if that he will do it. He does not ask a man that he may give him help to choose which of those men that he will send. But He, in His sovereignty, He is calling them, and not only calling them, but then He is instructing them. Then He is bringing them into His own theological school. And He is Himself making the lessons that He Himself will give, that He may instruct His own office bearers. And why? Well, because He knows what is necessary for His church. When your teachers are instructed, boys and girls, in the university, then it is always with an eye to you, that they may be instructed how, that they may give you knowledge, that they may pass on the wisdom of the fathers. And now when the Lord, He is choosing and He is instructing His office bearers, then it is also with an eye unto His church for their good, because He knows what they stand in need of. And thus we see something of this in the words of our text for this afternoon hour, which you can find in Luke 5, verses 5 and 6. Luke 5, verses 5 and 6. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. So far, the words of our text. Instruction for fishers of men. First, a fruitless night. Second, a willing submission. And third, an unexpected abundance. Instruction for fishers of men. First, a fruitless night. Second, a willing submission. And third, an unexpected abundance, children. Why an unexpected abundance? Because who caught all those fish? Boys and girls, who caught all those fish? I would say Peter caught all those fish. What would you say? You would say, well, that is not quite right, is it? That Peter caught all those fish. Oh, that is clear to you. It was not the work of Peter. Why is that so clear to you? Well, you say, because of what went before it, right? And it is so clear. That was not Peter's work. It was not the apostles' work. Well, you think about that. Because that is now the difference in the life of God's children. And when the Lord, He will give something to His children, then He will make it very, very clear that it's not their work, but it is the Lord's work. That is now the difference, how you can tell what is the true work of the Lord and what is not the true work of the Lord. We will consider it together. First, a fruitless night. What do we read? We read, Master, we have toiled all the night. Thus, the Lord Jesus, He does not call lazy men into His ministry. But those are men who were very diligent in their business. Thus, they were very hard workers. They were workers who were toiling. Toil is not something that was toil before the fall, but it became toil after the fall. The fact that our labor is now toilsome, and that is all a fruit, that is an effect of sin. We see here Peter and Andrew and their partners, James and John, and they are going out, they are launching their ship in the night. And they are hoping that they may get a good catch. Do they think at all of the need that the Lord Himself will help them? Do they think at all of the need that the Lord Himself would bring those fish into that net? I don't think so. Not so much. Maybe not at all. Oh, they do this work every day. This is so common. This is so normal. They are experienced fishermen. They know just how to do it. They go to a certain place. They go at a certain time. They go in the night. They go when that fishing is good. And they go to those spots which are known by their own experience. They go to those places where it is likely that, well, that they will get a good catch again, because there they have gotten it before. And so they have an expectation. And what is their expectation? Well, that expectation is in their knowledge. It is an expectation that is lying in their understanding, in their skill. It is their experience, what they have learned from when they were very young, what they have done over and over so many times that they know how to do it. They are full of hope. They are full of expectation. In all of this, oh yes, we all admit, needs to be blessed. We pray, right? We get up in the morning, children, we pray, right? You ask the Lord. You go to school. The Lord will help you. We ask mother, father, that the Lord will help them, because it all needs the blessing of the Lord. And yet the expectation, where is it that expectation is lying? Is that really lying now, truly in that help of the Lord? David, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Yes, we know that. That is not so easy accomplished. We are not so easily brought into such a place. The Lord himself, he must bring a man there. And he will bring his people there. He will bring them there for the good of their soul. And he will receive, when he brings them there, all the honor and all the glory. How will he do that? Well, we see how he does it. He brings them up empty. He brings them up empty over and over again. In all their toil, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Thus, toil, that speaks about so much effort. We have labored, we have labored, we have labored. We have put forth sweat, as it were. And we have done that a long time. And no fruit. Thus, slowly, step by step, the Lord, he is breaking down the work of a man in that night. Time and time again, in all their effort, there is disappointment after disappointment. Do you know that life? Do you know that life in the use of the means? In the use of the means of grace? When you are fishing, as it were. When you are toiling. When you are laboring after a blessing. Because if the Lord gives us true regeneration, then we are not a lazy man anymore. Or we are so careless when we are dead. When we are spiritually dead. And then we labor in the midst of this world with great effort. But the labors for the need of our soul, they are all labors of slothfulness. They are all labors of carelessness. They are all labors of form and of custom. Until the Lord, he says, thus far and no further. And then we become an industrious man, a boy, a girl, who begins to seek, who begins to look. Oh, did the Lord ever take away the sloth of your heart, the sloth of your life, that you have begun to labor in that holy word of God? And how is it going? You read, you ask, pray, you seek, you knock, but over and over, a disappointment. Sometimes you think maybe you have something. Sometimes you think you feel a little movement, or you are so glad with it. After a little while, you say, oh, it was nothing. It was nothing. It just passed by me. I still have nothing. How long did those disciples fish? We read they fished all the night. They fished until they were tired. Until they were tired of fishing. They fished until all their fleshly wisdom that said, it is no use anymore. We might as well stop because it is getting light. It is not time to fish anymore. And they do stop. We read they were washing their nets. That time ever come in your life? That you washed your nets? That you set the means aside because you are discouraged? Because you come up time and time again with nothing? Maybe you have said even, I will not read it anymore. Maybe you have said even, I will not go to church anymore. Because it is just useless. And I've been doing it now for so many years. And for such a long time. And over again. It is nothing. 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 How many years of fruitless searching have you done in the Word of God? Oh, did you ever lose your expectation in your searching? Did the Lord ever strip you of all of your own wisdom and of all of your own strength in your seeking, in your praying, in your use of the means? Did the Lord ever bring you into the impossibility? Did the Lord ever let the foundation drop out from under your feet for all your use of the means? Did the Lord ever bring you into a holy despair? So the Lord is working here in the life of the disciples. Secretly, the Lord, He is working. They do not know that. Say, can He do that? Can do that. He's the creator of the heavens and of the earth. And all the night, say He was sleeping. Oh no. Oh, He was busy. He was busy too. The disciples, they are looking, looking. They are trying, trying. They are toiling, toiling. And the Lord Jesus, He is also working. What is He doing? Oh, He is directing. As the creator of the heavens and of the earth. You know, we read about Jonah. We read that the Lord, He spake to that whale, to that fish. Now the Lord, He did the same thing. He spake to all those fish, and He scattered them. And there was not one of those fish that was allowed to come near to that boat, to those ships, to those nets. Every one of those fish, they are commanded that they are staying away in order that they may catch nothing. That is the Lord's work. Say, what? Is that what the Lord is doing? May He do that? Why may He not? Why may He not? Is there not a lesson in it? Is it not for their good? Even if it is against all that is in their flesh, even if it is against all their desires, that they would catch nothing, was it not the work of the Lord? Even that first part, we speak about the second part. Say, that is the work of the Lord. But what about the first part? Is that not the work of the Lord that is going before in order that he may prepare them? Remember, children, how do we know? How is it so evident that that catch was not their own? Remember, right? Say it's because of what went before. That is right. What went before? And we may know altogether the way that the Lord is working, the dealings of the Lord with his people, that you may receive a little discernment, young people. See that in our second thought. A willing submission. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Who says that? That is the Lord Jesus, to whom he says that once again unto Peter. Did Peter know the Lord Jesus so well? He didn't. The Lord Jesus has just begun his earthly ministry here below. Thus, he is not yet so well known to Peter. And yet, Peter says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The command of Christ to Peter that is against all the wisdom that lay in Peter. It is completely against all the experience of his life, his whole life, his whole fisherman's life. Not only so, but it is also against, completely against that which he has experienced with his partners, even here in this past night. Thus, he is not able to understand that command of the Lord Jesus, the reasoning that would be behind it. They have already tried all the night. It was fruitless. It is now morning. It is not time to fish anymore. They are now washing their nets. They will only have to do that all over again. And yet he does it anyway. And yet he obeys. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Why? Why, Peter? Well, Peter doesn't know why. But there is a power. There is a secret power that moves Peter to obedience unto the word of the Lord. Thus the motivation for letting down that net that is now completely different than before. He does not let it down out of his own desire. He does not let it down now out of his own need. No, but he is letting that net down now purely because it is commanded unto him of the Lord himself. And it is not only the motivation, but it is also the expectation. The expectation of Peter, which is completely different. The place that he casts it, that may be the same as before. The manner that he casts it, that may be exactly like it was before. But his expectation, that is now new. I think that he did not say to Andrew and to James and John, we need now to go to such and such a place before we let it down. We need now to think how to do it better. No. Why? Because all that fleshly wisdom, all that human knowledge, all that personal experience, that is all now done away. There is no hope in that. There is no expectation in that. It is all come to nothing. It is all worth nothing in the eyes of Peter. What is his expectation now? There is only one. When that net now goes down, then he is looking for a miracle. He is now looking for a wonder from heaven. If there will come one fish in that net, then they will understand very well that it is not because that I'm so wise. It's not because I have chosen the right place, but it is only because of the power of the Lord. It is only because the Lord Himself does give to us that one fish as a gift from above. Did your seeking ever now come to this? How do you read the Bible? How do you come to church? What is your expectation? What do you seek in it? What do you seek in the Bible, children? You read the Bible. What are you looking for? Though I have at home a little book. It's a little quiz book about the Bible. As all questions in there about the Bible. I don't know who wrote it. But in the beginning, the author, he says, he tries to encourage the children. And he says in there, now you must learn the answers to these questions so that you can know more than all the other boys and girls. And you can show them how much that you know. What do you think? Is that a good reason to read the Bible? Is that a good reason to study the Bible? That's to study the Bible for a reason, a motive that comes from the devil. To show that I know more than other people. That I may lift myself above the other boys and girls. What do we do when we read the Bible? Are we looking just for the knowledge that can be found, the historical, the interesting facts that can be found in the Bible? You can read the Bible all your life. All your life, and you can be so smart, and you can answer every question that can be found about the Bible and miss the blessing. And miss what you need from that Bible. Oh, we need that the Lord brings all our wisdom to an end. Did the Lord ever make you a fool? Did the Lord ever make your case to be a hopeless case? Did the Lord ever cut you off from everything that is coming from yourself? And did the Lord ever move you in your hopelessness, in your wretchedness, in your misery, in your helplessness? Now to take up that word of the Lord, to come in such a way to the house of the Lord and to sit as a fool, as a wretched creature, as a sinful creature, as a miserable creature, to take up that word of God and to go forward because the Lord, He points you unto that word, and then your expectation is what? Oh Lord, will be such a wonder. It will be such a wonder if I could have just the smallest blessing out of Thy word this day. With an eye to heaven, that the Lord Himself may give what we cannot give to ourselves. And when we come in such a way And we come with such an expectation, all then there is an abundant blessing that is waiting for us. We see that here in our last thought. And when they had done this, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, as so that they began to sink. For the disciples, it went from nothing to everything in one moment. From absolutely nothing, all night long, to a net that was so full, there was not room enough to receive it. That was an instruction for them, those disciples. Why? Because they needed to instruct the church of God. And that is now how it goes in the life of God's people. It goes from nothing to everything. In the revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the openings of His Word, when the Lord, He will reveal His only begotten Son, then that people whose search was a fruitless search for years and years and years in toilsome labor, and then the Lord comes, not to keep it away, not to keep the fish from the net, but all of a sudden, He will give to them a blessing that is so great that they do not have room to receive it. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is so full. In Him is everything, and it is all received by faith. It is a work that is so completely done already. And it is a people whose eyes only need to be opened that they may receive the blessing by a true and a living faith. In one moment, that was the lesson for those disciples, because it is the experience of the church, and that they may say unto that church that is still laboring, that is still toiling, oh, that there is coming a day, that there is coming a blessing, that the Lord, He is going to give unto that people what they do desire. Blessings. Blessings that are experienced to be so great that they cannot receive them. What did Solomon say? He said, He brought me into His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head. With His right hand He doth embrace me. He had to embrace. He had to be embraced. Why? Because He was swooning. Swooning under the blessings that are received in that blessed mediator. Because when that eye of faith of that helpless people, of that miserable people, of that hopeless people, when that eye of faith that is opened by the Lord, then they see something which is so great. They see something which is so full. Oh, the abundance that is contained in that precious Son of God that is not to be declared here below in its fullness. Only by beginnings can the servants of the Lord, when the Lord will give it unto them, open a little of the attributes of the works of the character of the love of that God in His only begotten Son. Oh, it is a work. It is an opening that will take a people and it will make them that big It will make them so, so small. We read it here. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Oh, do you think, children, that Peter really wanted the Lord Jesus to go away? Oh, no. He loved the Lord Jesus. But if the Lord is coming, then the Lord, with his blessings, he is so humiliating a person that he feels how evil that he is, that he feels how sinful that he is, and he feels how holy and how great that the Lord is, that there is such an awe that Peter, he says, "O Lord, thou canst not dwell with such a person as I am." Do you know such a place? Do you know such a humility under the blessings of the Lord himself? Oh, the true church. We read in the Bible, they cast their crowns before the throne. They cast their crowns before the throne. Why? Oh, it is not a crown which should be to my honor. No, it is all to his honor. You say they do that in heaven. That is right. There are moments. Oh, there are precious moments in this world, in this life, where the church that is learning to do heaven's work, that is to cast that crown before the throne and to say, that, "Lord, thou hast done it." It is all a gift from above. O congregation, lessons. Disciples, say they were for the disciples. They were for the fishers of men. Yes, they were for the office bearers. Indeed, necessary. Necessary. Will there be more office bearers? The Lord willing, if he will spare us, will there be more office bearers coming forth out of the congregation? Ever think about that, boys? Maybe one day that you will have to be a deacon. Maybe one day that you will have to be an elder. Maybe one day even that you would have to be a minister. You ever think about that? When I was your age, I did not think I was going to be a minister. But the ways of the Lord, they are different. They are not our ways. And thus, you also need to learn these lessons. Those same lessons will you ask the Lord, "Wilt thou teach me like thou hast taught the disciples?" They're not so nice for our flesh. Much toil, no fish. Then we learn rebellion. We learn the sin that is living in our heart. And the Lord, he allows it to well up within us, that we may abhor ourselves before the Lord, and that it may become a wonder that the Lord ever spares us and uses us in this life, in his church. Oh, may the Lord give that these lessons may be taught, may be learned by young and old, may be learned by us as office bearers for the first and by renewal, and that his church may so grow, not only in an outward way, but that his church, his true church, may grow among us, that new ones may be born in Zion, may be instructed by the leadings of the Holy Spirit in the ways of the Lord, and that thereby his church may be gathered in, and the Lord's name, beginning here below in the heart, and a little here in the world, and then forever and forever to be glorified and to be magnified, world without end. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 111, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock He set my feet and steadfast made my way. 111, 1, 2, and 3. Read the form of ordination of elders and deacons, which can be found on page 70 or 145 on the back of your psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who are chosen to the office of elder and deacon in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present in the name of the Lord proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. The elders, it is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament, and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely, that they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government amongst the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church, which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned. Also to act, according to the Christian discipline, against the impenitent and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance. Therefore, it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating upon the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 9. For which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I now ask those who are to be installed in their office to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, Mr. John Moons and Mr. Brendan DeYoung, that every one may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacon, whether you do not feel in your hearts that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, and whether ye promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, that ye elders in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration to the poor. We also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church. What is your answer, Mr. John Moons? Mr. Brendan DeYoung? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your offices. Brothers, we have spoken out of the Word of God of instruction that was given by the Lord to His disciples who were future office bearers. That instruction that was given to them for the sake of the church, for the work that had to be done in the church. Many are the labors which are to be done in the church by an elder and a deacon. And that is not only labors in the local church, but we also think in a special way, Mr. Moons, of the fact that you do sit on the curatorium, and that is a very heavy responsibility also in the midst of the denomination in which we dwell and which has a large impact on the future generations if all is well. So the labors, they are many, and those labors, they are also very weighty. When we look around us and we do those labors, then it can very easily be that we become discouraged. Because when we look to bring up fruit upon those labors, then very often we have to say, where is the fruit? But what is then the expectation? Where then is the ground of our expectation? Because if a man may think that he has gifts and he is looking to his gifts and thinks that the blessing has to come from those gifts, then he becomes proud. And on the other side, if he says, well, I have no gifts, then he becomes very discouraged, and neither of them are right. Because neither of them look to the Lord. Both of them are looking unto man and the blessing that is not to be found in us. It is, we must use our mind, certainly, and we must use the experience. We have also read how that the elder, the name that comes as eldest, and that simply is speaking also about experience in life and hopefully also in grace. And those things we must use, yes, but there is no blessing to come from them. If there will be a blessing, then it needs to come from above, and it will be a miracle from heaven. We read of one who shot a bow at a venture. Thus he did not even know where he aimed it. And yeah, so also we have often to do our work here below. It must be by the command of the Lord, the simple command of the Lord. And when it may be by that command, and we may go forward under his command and looking for that miracle from heaven, then there is a blessing to be found in it, because then it is the Lord's work. Peter did not know why he had to go forward. He said, we have done it long enough. And these kinds of things, they can come in our minds too, as office bearers, that we say, yeah, where is now the fruit? What is coming of it all? And that we can have objections in our heart. May the Lord take all of our objections away continually. Give us to labor together at his footstool under his command, and give us yet to see also all together the blessing of the Lord upon our labors for the sake of his church. Congregation, let us stand and sing Psalter 436, the third stanza. 436, stanza 3, His gracious blessings rest on all. From Zion doth His favor show. He made it all to bless His name. Praise ye the Lord, His name proclaim. Standing 436, the third stanza. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans, show liberality to all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your offices and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with thy spirit. We beseech thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming. The elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, and that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one, acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us sing in closing Psalter 246. 246 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O teach thou us to count our days, and set our hearts on wisdom's ways. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 246. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.